Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. You may be seated. So as we started last week in part one, we talked about some things, and I'm going to recap, and this will be a really quick recap. We talked about that Revelation was written by John. Revelation was the revelation of Jesus Christ, given by the Father to Jesus Christ, and then revealed to John. An angel came and talked with him. Revelation, and I didn't touch on this much, is apocalyptic writing, and it uses symbols and things. If you get into the Revelation and the whole part of it, you go on deeper into the chapters, and I hope you did read your chapter one for this week. If not, read it again for this coming week. As we get into that, you're going to see symbols. You're going to see things maybe that are hard to understand. And some people, they steer away from reading Revelation because it's some difficult things. But it's like a curtain hanging on a wall, a large curtain with folds. And if you're standing at a great distance, you can see the folds, but you have to sort of spread them out and look as you're digging deeper into the Word. And it's the way the Word of God is. It's like a painting. You're standing close to it. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, wow, look at this little part, and look at this little part, and look at this little part. And it doesn't quite, but you step back from that painting, and it becomes this beautiful masterpiece. That's the way it is in Revelation, and the Word of God even, and in our lives. God's the master painter of our lives. Some facts that we were learning are that God wants us to know this revelation of Jesus Christ because he gave it to us to know. We can never know this on our own. God cares about us so much that he cares to reveal these things to us. The revelation reveals things that happen in the future. It's a prophecy, a book of prophecy. It reveals things that happen in the near future. And some significant truths we know is that Christ, he gave it himself. He gave the revelation. He did this. The revelation concerns things that must soon take place. And when it was given in John's day, the words soon take place was there as well. And here we are today, 2026, day 11 of January. And still, soon takes place is very important to know. We talked about being ready. Ready today as if he's coming today, but also working as if he's not coming for decades, even centuries. Ready for his coming. His coming is soon, even nigh, even at hand. Revelation was given to John, and blessed is the person, man or woman, who reads and hears and obeys this message. And that's where we left off last week. Blessed, with this verse 3 talking about being blessed of God. I like to be blessed. You can go out here in the streets and in maybe the marketplace. How are you? How are you? And you will hear someone say, I'm blessed. Some understand what that means, and some are saying that because it's a positive thing. Positive thing. Blessings from God is certainly a major thing. So Revelation 1:3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written, for the time is near, is one of seven blessings that's spoken about in the book of Revelation. One of seven blessings that the Lord wants us to know about. So then, it's pretty straightforward. When you read this, it's pretty straightforward, right? It's self-explanatory right here. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. It's a blessing to be able to read this out loud. The words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And blessed are those who hear. Blessed, blessed, blessed are those who hear this. And who keep it. It's not just about the hearing. It's also about the keeping of it. Keeping takes a bit of action. Hearing it takes a bit of action. You know, it's one thing to be in a conversation and to feel like you're hearing, but actually hear what the other person is saying is another thing. It takes a little bit of work to open both ears. I used to tell my children, you have two of those. Two of those. God gave you two ears. We don't always hear with both of our ears, but God did give us ears to hear. And this is what he wants us to do, to keep what is written, to keep it in our hearts, in our lives, to post it. When you get up in the morning in your heart, read his word. This is specific to Revelation. Reading Revelation is important. We want to keep what is said in here. We want to know what is said in here because God has given it to us. And this is where we left off. I'm going to move to the second blessing that we learn about in the book of Revelation. And now this blessing, you can find it in Revelation 14:13. And for today, we're looking at just these blessings. We're going to go through these seven blessings, take a quick look. So it's kind of like, not super deep, but a quick look. And some of them we will go into and take a little bit more of a look in as we go through. We may in time in the future go back and dig in a little deeper on some of the others. So the second blessing that is mentioned in Revelation 14:13, it says here, I heard a voice from heaven saying, and this is John writing, and he's the one hearing, and he says this, the voice says this, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. God, his blessing, the second blessing is talking about endurance. It's talking about keeping the faith. We need that now. They needed that then in John's day. They were facing tremendous persecution. You face persecution in your life if you are a Christian. That is a fact. It may come in small amounts or it may come in ginormous amounts. But we face persecution as God's children because of the message of Jesus Christ. It's just something that's going to happen. Jesus does not leave us alone. He doesn't send us out there to sink or swim. He gives us encouragement through his word. And even here, for the saints during this time, during this period, and for those he prophesied about in the book of Revelation, he is giving encouragement. Here's a blessing to know. If you hold fast to the truth, the word of God, if you obey, he will bless you. He will not curse you. He will bless you, but you must hold fast to the word of God. Keeping the promises of God is something that is being talked about in this second blessing, the commandments of faith in Jesus. And to dig deeper into this, we can spend a few weeks just on this one verse. And the context of this verse inside the prophecy given. I'm not going to do that today, but we will get there, I believe strongly. The third blessing we have here in Revelations that we know of, that is written, is Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15 is a very interesting blessing in the way the Lord presents it inside this parenthesis. It's like Jesus just sort of interjected this inside of what was being said in the context of those verses around it. He injected this because it's very important. He said, Behold, I'm coming like a thief. And there's an exclamation point after that. He exclaimed, behold, I'm coming as a thief. That doesn't mean Jesus is a thief. It means we do not know the hour or the time that he will come. You can prepare for a thief as best you can with cameras and with all kinds of devices. We can lock our doors, but we don't know when they're coming. We do not know when Jesus himself is coming. He is using this analogy to say, be ready, be prepared. Blessed is the one who stays awake, is what it says, keeping his garments on, that he may not go out naked and be seen exposed. Yet another exclamation. Blessed is the one who stays awake. Does that mean we need to stay awake every hour, all day long? No. This is used symbolically. This is an analogy. So blessed is the one who stays awake and keeping his garments on, is saying, be ready to go. Be ready to go. Keep your shoes on. Keep your clothes on. Keep your spiritual garment on. Don't lay it down for a minute. Don't get idle. Don't be sidetracked. No, nothing that could sidetrack this is worth it. Be ready. Be ready. This is like the woman who was soon to give birth, and she's in labor pains, and they have that suitcase packed and in the car ready to go. Be ready. I hear a theme here. Week to week, we are listening and learning from God, and he wants us to be ready. If the message that you hear today is only that, that is important to hold fast to. I don't want you to leave without being ready to see the Lord. Be ready. Keep your garments on. It says that he may not go out naked and be seen and exposed. Without having it on, we are without it. We can't imagine that we're doing it. We can't work it up in our own brains, having the Word of God and having the faith in Jesus Christ. We can't work that up. It comes through the Word of God. Faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Here it is. The Word of God. Soldiers must stay prepared and be prepared. And Jesus's soldiers of the cross and the kingdom of God will be prepared to meet him face to face. Will be prepared and stand firm in the battle, not hightail and run away from it. Many years ago, the Lord gave me a vision, and he showed me myself standing face to face, toe to toe, nose to nose against the enemy. He didn't tell me why. He didn't tell me anything about what I asked. He didn't let me know anything. I didn't know what that meant. It was very scary. And then years after that, I saw the vision again. And yet the Lord said then that he was standing toe to toe and nose to nose at me. But it was this way, offensively, not defensively. It was turned around, and God explained. I don't understand God's timing. I don't understand sometimes God's, the work he's doing. But this is what I do know, that he is growing a church, an active church, to be proactive in this world, to be out there with the Word of God, offensively defending the gospel and winning the lost, winning back, winning the ground, taking the ground. We are soldiers of the cross. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a work to do. You have a work to do, a call in your life to fight the battle and stay prepared. Here's another blessing. This blessing in Revelations 19 and 9 is the fourth of seven blessings. So Revelations 19 and 9. Revelations 19 and 9 says, "And the angel said to me," the angel of Christ, "said to John, write this." He was very well instructed. Through this whole, I couldn't imagine being on the Isle of Patmos and hearing and seeing what John saw, but yet we have it written before us. He did explain to us in the book of Revelation what he saw. Now, for us to understand what he saw from our perspective is kind of like, with the symbolism and everything, it's kind of like being in America and explaining to someone what a red light is in a country who knew nothing about red lights at all. The symbol of a red light on a piece of paper, the picture, wouldn't mean anything to them if they saw it without us explaining it. But when we can explain it, well, if you see the light is red, it means stop. Stop. If it's green, it means go. It's funny that we call them red lights more than green lights. Revelations 19:9 says, "And the angel said unto me, write these things, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God." Have you been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Have you ever been invited to a gathering? Maybe it was something with a family, and it's an exciting thing, and you look forward to going. This is bigger than anything we could experience on this side of glory. But it was prophesied about in Isaiah 25, and I'll read that to you. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation for this part. Isaiah 25, 6 through 8 says this, "In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all the insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken." And it ends with an exclamation point, meaning it's going to happen for sure. God said it. Now we go on to Matthew 22. And I'm going to read this also from the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 22. Verses 1 through 14. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his sons. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited. But they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to them. The feast had been prepared. The bulls and the fatted calves have been killed, and everything's ready. Come to the banquet." But the guest he had invited ignored him. They ignored them and went their own way to his farm or to their business, to another to their business. Others seized his messengers, insulted them, and killed them. See the symbolic thing happening here. It's describing what happened. Jesus did that in parables, often using analogy and symbolism. They seized the messengers and insulted them and killed them. That's what they did to the prophets of old. That's what they're doing all over the world today, to close the doors of churches all over the world as much as possible. The enemy will try to do this. There are people in prison right now. There are people being beaten, threatened. There are people possibly even dying today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's a gospel I want to believe in. Why would people give their life for a cause that has meaninglessness, nothing. The king was furious in this, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he, in verse 8, says, and he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready. The guests I've invited aren't worthy for the honor. Now go out into the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants went and brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed one man wasn't wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. He said, friend, he asked him, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Again, we are admonished to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ by being prepared. We see in Matthew 25:10, and these I've shared recently in our services. But while they were gone to buy oil, and this is the 10 foolish virgins who were waiting the bridegroom's call, waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they were not prepared like the wise who had oil in their lanterns, lamps. These were the foolish. Matthew 25:10 says, but while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and when those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the doors were shut. They went in that were ready, the doors were shut, and it does remind me of Noah's Ark. When the doors were shut, and no man can open those doors. No man but God Almighty. And when the door and the time is shut, it's shut. So it's wise to be really prepared as much as possible. We can't do that alone. We need each other. We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God. Then there's the fifth blessing of seven. This one's found in Revelations 20. And six, isn't this wonderful that the Lord would show us these consequences for serving him? Blessings. Revelations 20 and 6 says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and Christ, and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Tremendous suffering happens to God's people at times. And here we have a blessing. If we are God's, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about that second death at all. We are the kings. I was struggling a few weeks back. Just struggling. I don't even remember what it was. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you're mine. I'm telling you, that healed everything. Even if I'm going through a tough time, when you are Christ's, you are Christ's. He is working a work that's uncommon to man, not by man's hands, but by his in our lives to grow us to becoming who he would want us to be. To do the work that he wants us to do, to glorify him, the bigger picture we may not see. But God is worthy to be trusted. Will you serve him? Will you serve him all the way passionately? Will you go to the darkest places if he says go? Will you speak the word of God to your neighbor? Will you love your husband, your wife, your children, and teach them of God by your actions? Will you serve God all the way? Will you? When God says, whoa, wait a minute, that was not okay, make amends and make it right. Will you humble yourself before the living God? I say yes. I say yes. I say yes, Lord. Help me, yes, Lord. Here we have next the sixth of seven blessings. Revelations 22:7 says this, "And behold, I am coming soon." Jesus said it. He said it to John way back then. It's been quite a few hundreds and thousands to 2,000 over years ago. And yet, God's timing is not like ours. He is coming soon. We are to be prepared. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book of Revelation. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy. Who doesn't change them, twist them, turn them around, ignore them, but who takes hold in their hearing of them and keeps it. Believes that God is saying what he wants us to hear. Digging in and holding fast takes action, like I've said. And this is yet another one saying, keep it, hold it. I'm giving you a treasure. Hold on to it. Keep it. These are the ways to hold on to it and keep it. Keep it. Keep it clean. Keep it ready. I feel like I'm seeing like the word of God is a sword in our hand. Here it is. Keep it. Don't just hold it in your sheath. Don't just lay it on the counter on some kind of stand to admonish it. You know, oh, look, I got this beautiful sword. Don't put it up on the wall. Use it. Use it. Use it. And he will teach us exactly how and when to use it. When I'm troubled and when I feel overwhelmed, I speak the word of God out loud. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's Jesus. That's his deposit of the Holy Spirit in my life and his infilling of the Holy Ghost in my life, in my body. Jesus gives us his word so that we can fight, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is on the move. The kingdom of God and the church of God is not asleep. There are some that sleep, but the church is alive and well, as Jesus is alive and well. And the enemy wants us to believe, nope, I'm too old. I got to close down this. I got to shut this down. I can't do this. I can't do that. He'll poke and prod, and he'll try to eke his way in and push you aside every little bit, every little bit. And as much ground as you'll give away, he'll take. He'll take it. But you know what we're called to do? Go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us. Yes, when we become aware of what he's done, he owes us. He owes us 100%. He owes us a lot. And we can take it back in the name of Jesus. Through prayer, that's key. Through the word of God, not our own. Not because you're puffed up in yourself and like, I'm some powerful, look at me. No. But together with things like what's happening in that prayer room back there on Sunday mornings and what's happening in our fellowship, growing in the Word of God and in that room on Thursday nights at 6:30 in the taught Word of God, that deeper diving in, we are growing and I see it. I'm excited. Overcome the enemy, church. Overcome the enemy. And then we're down to the seventh and final blessing that's recorded in Revelation for our benefit. Now, there was this great multitude. If you're reading Revelation 7, 9 through 17, I'm tempted to read it right now. I think I might. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. We're going to sort of step into a moment in this revelation. We're going to not look so much at what has just happened, so we're hopefully not going to take it out of context. I would not want to do that. But this is what happens next in this part of Revelation that has been written about here by John. After the 144,000 of Israel were sealed, and we'll talk about that at a later time, we don't have time today, a great multitude is happening. There's this great multitude in heaven of every nation. Verse 9 says, and after this I look and beheld a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and honor and blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might belong to God forever. Amen, amen. And then one of the elders addressed me, John, in the vision, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? Verse 14 says, and I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them for any scorching heat, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. I hear a theme. Haven't we been hearing this? God is speaking to us. Church, God is speaking to us. And he will guide them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Revelation 7:14 says, and I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. This blessing that we're talking about comes from Revelation 22:14. Says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter into the city by the gates. Blessed. It's very deep stuff, isn't it? God's word is beautiful. Takes a minute to sit with. I encourage you to read the chapter, the first chapter of Revelation, as we move to the next part next week. Hebrews 9:14, and I'm reading this out of the Living Translation. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds or works, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offers himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. No more is it bulls and rams, turtle doves, and the like. Those were in the old pattern of worship for God, but they did do what they were intended to do. They were sacrificed for the sins of the people. And now how much more the blood of Christ, how much more power, how much more would that apply? This is the point. That was a tabernacle in the old made by man's hands. Certainly shows us that we can't do it on our own. We need God. They were obedient to God, but it wasn't complete without Christ. They were looking towards Christ. Christ came, died, give his life, blood, that we can be saved, to atone for the sins of mankind. And then we see in Revelation, they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. Now, if you take a white robe in real life, like, you know, like in reality, and stick it in blood, it's going to be hard to get spotless. But this is symbolic of the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He would and can make it white completely. No matter what sin we have put ourselves into, he can deliver, he can set free, and he desires to do that. He desires for our freedom. He desires for us to know him and his word, to know him, to be able to obey him. We cannot do that rejecting him. We cannot do that if we do not accept him as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, if we do not humble ourselves, if we do not accept him as our Lord and Savior, if we do not confess him and believe in our hearts that he is God. And he came for us. So I encourage you to always stay in an ever-present openness with the Holy Spirit who draws us to God. These altars in the church are really altars in our hearts. We can come at any time during the service, and I encourage you, anytime the Lord touches your heart and the thought goes, go to the altar. Don't second guess. Well, maybe I just, No, just go. Let God take care of all that other stuff. Just go. He's got something for you. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day it's been. He has answered my prayers. I needed a refreshing. And he does it every service for us and special things, but we must be obedient. And that's the critical importance that we're seeing here in several of these verses that I've read with blessings. They come with obedience to God's word. He is not a taskmaster. He is a God who loves us. He knows what we need. We're short-sighted. He knows around the corner. He knows what you need. And he is here to supply the need. But we must obey him. Sometimes that's one simple, small step at a time. Sometimes that's a large leap of faith. A giant leap into the water. A raging river. On the move, and God taking care of us. Now, I am not talking literally, don't go jump in the river. Okay. But as the Lord leads you, move in faith. Three of these seven blessings, I think four, have to do with obeying God and his commandments, keeping them. And all these that were standing before the throne, isn't that just a fulfillment of prophecy? All nations, all tongues, way back with Abraham. He is faithful to his word. We must obey him. And I can't overstress that word, obedience. The world would like to take obedience out of parenting. They would like to take the word obedience, like obedience is a harsh thing. Obedience is necessary and needful. It takes humility to obey. Revelation begins with a promised blessing. This is so beautiful. 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep it, and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And then it closes with a blessing. Revelation 22:7. And behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Isn't that amazing? The book of Jesus Christ, the book from Jesus for his church, and for the time in the future, for them in the past, for us, so that we can receive his blessings, so that we would not be cast out into outer darkness. Let's all stand in closing.